So, where last we left off, the party had split. As Makat, perhaps over overconfident in his standing against these heroes, Makat fell. He seems to have been destroyed. And as Makat now rising up one last time into the sky before falling to one last daring shot from a crossbow, he fell, and his gargantuan form, a small mountain in and of itself, litters about three quarters of the city of Aalborg. The fight is not over yet, but the party, after having rushed everyone out of the city, ran back in to find Ruka. Ruka and Barkus had been with Makat and were falling with him. Barkus, snatched away the last moment by Jack, was brought clear of the fall. But Ruka simply landed near him and didn't seem to be reachable until she finally broke and ran. The party, some of them, those that could go quickly enough, gave chase and ran her down. And with a very quick casting of sleep from Solas, Ruka, now in her fox form, slowed before dropping to the ground and falling asleep. Min, Jack, and Solas were there with Ruka. Back in the city, Philia and Barkus remained. The body of Makat lay before you, absolutely overwhelming in size. There he lays. From your position, you probably can't even see most of him. And it would take you a little bit of time just to locate his head or whatever space you might be looking for. But there he lays, unmoving, unbreathing, just seeping that same horrible stench and venomous cloud. But the battle rages on around you, as dragons still fly in the air, at first put off by the fall of Makat, seem to still be present and not quite ready to give up the fight. Most of the giants have fled, and they're not coming back. But it looks like the remaining dragons are intent to follow and to harry them. As I see 91 has just stepped away, we will jump over to Min and Jack and Solas. So, for the time being, we'll say that Jack ran straight up to Ruka's sleeping form and began checking to see if she was under a compulsion, under an enchantment, under anything like that, as well as to see if she needed healing or any kind of care. Solas only hesitated a few moments more before seeming to come back to herself, as Solas then also approaches with Min. Min, what do you do?
Min will also go over to Ruka's fallen and sleeping form, and Solas is awake, correct?
Solas is awake currently, yes.
Okay.
Also, it is good to note that Hyken, when Ruka fell asleep, the bond was broken, and Hyken reformed next to her. And very quickly, with a very terrified look on his face, just scrambled back and away from her several feet.
Men will turn to Haiken and say, "We need to help Uruka. I don't know what it is, but we can't let her stay like this." And Min is actually going to pick up Uruka with one hand, and she's going to say, "We can't stay here in the battle of the dragons rage across the sky." And she is going to hold up a hand towards the side, and through telepathic bond, she's going to inform the rest, saying, "We're going to take a break. You'll be able to find us here." And she'll just give them an indication of where their location is as she casts Rope Trick, and she's going to carry Uruka up into the Rope Trick. And she'll tell the others, "Come with me," because she does not want to be harried by dragons at the moment, while Uruka is not in a good space, because she's very good aggroundable at the moment.
Okay, and I would say for your part, you guys are a substantial distance from the city. You don't see any dragons that are particularly targeting you right now, but it's still a safe thing to do.
Are we not in combat? Because I guess technically you are, it's just me.
Yeah, you are not in combat. I mean, Haiken is also there, and Solas is there.
All right, Min will call them both up into the Rope Trick, as she will immediately begin binding Uruka while she's asleep, because she does not want Uruka hurting herself or anyone else in her current form.
Solas will speak up as she kind of helps herself into the Rope Trick, and she'll say, "I do not think that will be necessary. She will not wake up for some time, and I will know it well before she does."
And we'll pause and say, "Thank you. Thank you. It actually means a lot. Do you know what's wrong with her, Haiken?"
Haiken had followed Min up the Rope Trick almost by instinct, as he's still trying to piece his thoughts together after what he'd been through. As he gets up into the room, he'll sit down with his back against a wall and put his hands up to his face and press two fingers against his nose as he tries to clear his thoughts. "I don't know exactly what it was, but..." He shakes his head. "Uruka did speak of this. I didn't really believe her at the time that one with such strong convictions could have such a weak mind.
What does that mean? Speak common."
"During the fight, Bakat drove a stake into her mind somehow. I don't know how, but he was talking to her, planting seeds of doubt, messing with her mind. And then, there at the end, Uruka lost herself. It's like she just stopped. She ceased. She still hasn't come back."
"So he drove a stake into her mind." And Min looks over at Uruka. "It's, no. We've had enough of having dark entities control our actions." And she is still going to keep Uruka bound, but will come over to her and focus, and will turn over to Solas and say, "Solas, will your spell hold for at least 10 minutes?
"It will hold for longer than that."
"All right. going to try something I've never tried before. I will try to carefully extract whatever spike is in Ruka's mind. Bring it out.
And Min will sit down, take directly behind Ruka, take a deep breath, and basically just hold both her hands, fingers spread wide on either side of Ruka's temples. You want to see just a very faint glow begins to form across her fingers as she begins to focus, and she will start casting, and it'll take 10 minutes for her to finish. And I will shoot you a link in Hangouts as to the spell that Min's casting.
Thank you.
And she's going to hope the fact that Ruka is currently asleep will help with this.
Okay.
And I don't know if anything else happens within the next 10 minutes or so, but Min will just keep her eyes closed. And, you know, she will sit cross-legged as she does so, and while she's taking her essentially standard action to cast the spell, she's actually going to take move action as well. Not to actually move, but you watch as Min's skin begins to glow. And the very familiar hard lines that you usually see whenever she's using her Traveler's Any tool. But instead of creating a tool, it seems to spread across her skin with a faint blue and yellow glow as Mind activates Fast Healing. And I will shoot you a link to the item that Mind is using.
All right. So as you okay, the wondrous item here?
That's how Min is healing herself.
Can you plant your feet in a
I don't know actually. You know what? I'll say no.
I mean, if you weren't in a rope trick, it would be easy, but I do think that that's reasonable.
That's fair. In which case, she will continue to focus on the initial spell.
Okay. As you do so, you feel the tension in her mind seem to calm. The cloudiness becomes clarity, and her rest returns to normal.
Okay.
However, she does not wake up.
That's fair.
And Vince's, I feel like.
Quick question.
Yes.
Here's a thought. It can also remove other mental afflictions. Go ahead and give me a caster level check.
Sure. Level 13, so total of 30.
Okay. As you use this, Solas blinks for a moment as she realizes that her sleep spell has been washed away.
And this man takes their hands back, and you watch as it's almost like a thin web of ethereal lines draws back from her fingertips and draws from the temples of Ruka's head and retracts back into her fingers and says, "I think that actually will do the trick." And Min will sit back rather exhausted, as this is her highest level spell slot. And she will wait to see if Ruka awakens.
All right. And while you wait to see if Ruka awakens, Hyken watching on, Solas there, trying to figure out if she should cast sleep again or not, but just waiting. Back in town, Barkus and Philia. As the two of you behold the sight of this mountain before you, of scales and bone and green clouding mist, you can still hear the sounds of fighting around you. It would seem that the dragons are regathering. They're kind of coming back together, but at this point, most of the defenders fled out, whether some to the north, some to the south, most of them to the east. And as you look in that direction, you can see what looks like most of the dragons harrying the fleeing defensive forces, just sweeping down, dragging their claws through groups of them, trying to grab at them and make quick meals of those that they can get. For the moment, the two of you are not opposed. What do you do?
Kant's body is still here, right?
It is.
Aye.
Well,
I would assume it's a little too big to actually loot. Would that be a safe bet?
Yeah, that would probably be more like mining it.
Right. Barkus has an inclination of what to do with the body, but I think last time I asked if there was any sign of Makat moving or otherwise not being quite dead, and you said that there wasn't to Barkus's perceptive eyes. Is that right?
Correct. He does not appear to have any life in him.
All right. Well, based on the understanding that this thing is undeath personified, we certainly don't want it to stay very long. So, Barkus is going to see if he can spot Ari in the fracas. And if he can, he'll fly towards him as quick as he can.
Philia's okay. Gonna also look around for anybody. I think we should set it on fire.
You were doing an excellent job knocking out undead dragons earlier. I think you should keep that up. We can always loot those when we come back around.
Shoot any dragon within her range.
For sure. That's where the loot will come from.
Are there any dragons in range?
100
feet.
Yes, actually. Hold on just a second. Yes. First of all, Barkus, you are a dragonborn, mm-hmm. or you are not a dragonborn, but you are a dragon disciple. So you have sorcerer in you. and you're like a half dragon cat dude. But mostly it's your dragon disciple that I'm leaning on here. Give me an arcana check. And because, Philia, you are also a magic class, you can also do an arcana check if you'd like.
All right.
I rolled up a 9 plus 10 is 19. Pretty good.
Yeah, I only got a 16. I don't know much about it.
Okay. Both of you got high enough to know that something's wrong here. Barkus, you were able to pinpoint it. It is the feel of the necromancy school of magic. It's becoming stronger, but it's like an aura in the air around you, in the ground. It's that negative energy that usually powers undeath. And as you are feeling this and you're looking out in Philia, you catch sight of one of the fallen Svertigert who begins to stand up. You look over and you see another one of the fallen Shadow of Light who begins to rouse itself and stand up awkwardly. And you look a little bit further away and you see the fallen body of a young dragon that also pushes itself up out of the rubble of the house that it had crashed into. Barkus, you get the feeling essentially here that within a certain proximity of Makat, there is a latent undeath that will probably continue to raise things. Mm-hmm. And you would
feeling.
Yeah. You do catch sight of Ari, by the way.
Excellent. Yeah. Barkus is making a beeline to Ari, and as soon as he gets within shouting distance, he's gonna pull up and start speaking. That body can't stay here. I know it's massive, but we have to figure out some way to get it off this plane. It comes from some other realm, right? Can we send it to a different realm? Someplace full of water or fire or something?
I know.
Barkus reaches into his bag. He pulls out a golden bangle. And he proffers it, says, there's a spell can shift things through planes. Needs a focus, right? Does Ari know plane shift?
He does know that spell.
Okay. Says,
right, you're talking about plane shift, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that, but I don't think we can, at least I can't do it today. I'm tapped out.
Right. Other powerful spellcasters around here. Is there any way, I guess this is a mechanics question then, is there a way to accomplish, like, tremendous magical deeds by pooling the power of more than one person? Where one person's high-level stuff may fall short.
Well, I guess so. We do that sort of thing. Well, I mean, you saw it. But we'd have to be close to the crystals for it to work. I mean, there's plenty of covens that do that sort of thing on the smaller level. But I don't know of any of them around here. And I don't even know that they would want to help us.
Well, maybe one of the others will know what to do then. In the meantime, is there any chance we're going to be able to stem the tide of these undead? I mean, they just keep rising. Are the ones that we destroy, once they rise, are they staying down? Or are they coming back up again?
You look and you can see that it seems like if they are significantly damaged, that they do not rise. But some of them that have previously been knocked down as undead are rising again.
Okay, good to know. And now that's a lot of info for one, I guess, turn. Marcus will, he's had his ideas, he's spit it out, he's watching to see how Philia does taking out dragons.
I guess I will fire anything in range that seems to be threatening any living person and make my way towards Ari and any other live people.
Okay, go ahead and make your attack rolls. As you're riding on Alex. So give me a ride check to see if you can make your full round of attacks while he's essentially trotting through the street.
The mechanics for not in combat, I just do minus. One when attacking dragons.
Okay. Okay, then go ahead and I will say that you can see obviously the two humanoids, one giant, one shadow of light, looks like a Korthalian, and then there is the dragon also. And as you're going, you catch sight of a couple other giants that are rising. One of them you recognize as one of the war chiefs.
All right, is there anybody threatening somebody or dragons?
It looks like they're still just kind of getting up right now. They're not really threatening anyone yet.
All right, then I'll shoot that first dragon that I saw first. Seven.
Okay, 37 is a hit. Roll damage.
'Assuming probably all the bonuses that we had before were timed out or not. I don't know.
Yeah, at this point, they would have timed out.
It's like damage bonus. I have like damage bonuses and stuff like that. Points of damage.
Okay, and that's with the double shot, correct?
Oh no, I think I'm over.
Very nice. That is enough. As you fire in and your arrows smash through the brittle scales and bones, and the corpse drops to the ground.
Alright, the next one. Bugs will yell out,
be sure to finish it off!
Finish that one off!
It's not going to get up off ground? When it falls down, do you mean that it took enough damage to be done? Or can we tell?
I mean, it's got a couple of big holes in it. The body is still largely together, though. The other thing you would potentially notice is that arrows do piercing damage. And so perhaps something that does more smashing damage would be more effective.
There was also fire damage on it. Does that count for anything?
Okay. I will take that into consideration also.
So, like, probably 9 points of fire damage was in there.
All right. Do you have another attack?
Well, yes. Did the 20 hit something?
That would have been one of the giants. So, yes, that would hit.
Damage.
Okay, it does not drop, but it does kind of stagger sideways. And your arrow does tear right through bone and armor, turning it to dust and ash, and one of the arms falls off of the risen giant.
Alright, and 25 is the last arrow.
Okay, is this on the same target?
Yeah. Points of damage.
Okay, and with that you put the next one right through its head. Its head crushes and the thing collapses.
Alright, and then at this point I'm probably with Marcus and Ari. So it's ready.
Okay. So Ari is there, he's like, I mean, I think there's stuff we can do, but we're gonna have to sanctify this place to purge it. Can you feel that necrotic energy? It's in the ground. It's like it's poisoning everything.
I knew something was evil about it. So how can you do it? What can you do? What can we help with?
We're gonna need more help right now just to survive. I think we gotta just cordon the place off. Try to keep it contained until some more clerics can come that are not tapped out. The few of us that are left, we're all done. We don't have much left. I dare say you probably don't either.
Still have some arrows. I have to start picking them up soon.
Well, Barkus, I like your idea, but once again, we're just not in a place to be able to cast it today.
No, I understand, it, certainly. But if that miasma or whatever it is keeps on doing what it's doing, we're just going to have an ongoing fight on our hands. Is there any way to negate it, or is it just going to be killing these things until they stop getting up?
I think the idea was to move out, find more people, and kill stuff on the way out. Was that a summary of what we were talking about?
Yeah.
Do I understand the mechanic? Sorry.
That's pretty much what I was thinking. I mean, we can't stay here. Every one of us that falls in this place is just going to keep getting back up for the wrong side. It's better to move out to the edge of it. and try to contain it there.
Right.
At that point, Ari kind of looks up, and you can hear the engines from the three Ruble ships that are approaching. And you can see as they're moving in, formation with each other. And they seem to be headed straight for Aalborg.
Well, opportunists.
That might be useful. They might have some firepower that can help with the situation.
Do you suppose that this thing's operating on the same principle as the creatures it's raising? If you give it enough damage, even after it falls, you think it'll fall apart? Stop putting out this bad energy?
I don't know. We're dealing with something that's practically a god. I mean, it's crossed planes and boundaries, and it's lived for thousands of years. There's no telling.
Alright, well, I'm moving that way and trying to make sure more people stay alive if possible.
Alright, and as you go, you can see, going east, you can tell where the refugees and the retreating forces are at, because there is a small cloud of dragons that are harrying them along that way towards that eastern gate. All right, we're going to go ahead and bounce back over. All right. Min. First of all, welcome, Jack. I'm glad to have you with us. Min cast Rope Trick, and you all took Ruka into the Rope Trick in order to be sure that she was safe and wasn't going to go anywhere. After that was done, Min took about 10 minutes to cast a very high-level spell on Ruka's sleeping vulpine form. And the spell, Psychic Surgery, essentially should have relieved any intelligence, wisdom, or charisma damage, as well as any enchantments, and in fact, removed the sleep effect that Solas had put on Ruka. But as yet, Ruka has not woke up.
Sure. What's going on? It might have worked, but I can't be certain. Wait a minute, let me see if there is any residual evil that might still be here. He watches, Min closes her eyes and presses her right hand to her left shoulder. And you watch as there's a faint glow from there as she casts Aura Sight. And I'll send you a link to Aura Sight.
Alright. With Aura Sight, you don't detect anything that stands out.
Alright. I don't feel any presence of evil or darkness. But she's still asleep. Jack, do you have any idea of what may be going on?
Is it possible for Jack to use a heal check or something to try to see what's up?
Sure. I tell you what, do a knowledge nature or knowledge religion check.
It was 24, same if I'd chosen either one.
Okay. As you focus on Ruka, you don't see anything physically that stands out as a reason why she should still be asleep, other than perhaps just sheer exhaustion from the day. But there's something else there. There's a lingering something. It's not a true aura, but there is a sense that she's not right. It's really hard to put your finger on it, but something is still wrong inside.
She will do her best to explain to the others what she's currently feeling. From Ruka.
Incidentally, Jack still has the staff, right? The shepherd's staff?
She does.
Okay. This is interesting. You get a sense that the staff, or perhaps its connection to something else, is responding to this situation.
Responding how so?
The power in the staff seems to be responding to something about Ruka, and particularly what's wrong with Ruka. So if you remember previously, you were able to take time meditating on the staff and you were able to go into a sort of a vision state. And you were able to interact with a very large wolverine that was in there, named Broden. But you also were able to talk with Valaria.
Okay. She'd probably sit down and just concentrate and see what happens.
Okay. And as you do, you don't go into a vision state, but you do feel a connection and you hear Valaria's voice as she speaks to you. And you sense Broden's presence as well. But Valaria speaks. It would seem that you have returned to your friends in just the time of need. They have done a great thing, but this one is very sick.
Sick, how so?
I will do what I can to aid you, but you must consider your questions carefully, for you will only get 5. And for purposes of this, this will be treated like, now I can't remember the name of the spell, but, yes, like commune. So the answers will all be in yes, no, or unclear. But you can ask 5 questions of Valaria, who is the goddess of earth and natural things. And in that way, probably the antithesis of Makat, who is plague and undeath. But you can ask her 5 questions.
Is this something I have to ask now, or can I, like, back out of this, converse with the others, and then come back and ask her?
You are not in a vision state, so if you want to converse with the others, you can.
Great. She'll do that. And just tell the others what happened and that she has 5 questions she can ask.
Getting into her from a goddess set is beyond remarkable. But right now, the primary one that I would like to know is, and I'm going to assume that Min could hear Jax speaking to herself and saying, sick how, and that sort of thing. Or Jax just informed them. Says, I'd like to know, can Ruka be healed? If no, see if the sickness is in the body or the mind. I know there was a time when my body was beyond recovery, and you managed to bring me back. I do not know if this is what Urukun would want, but if this sickness corrupts her and turns her towards the will of the dragons, I feel that she would do whatever it took to not become one of their minions, to not continue to serve in their actions. But first, knowing whether or not she could be healed would be the first question. Do you feel this is a good question, Jack?
I think so, yes. And Jack will ask Valaria, can Ruka be healed?
Yes. What ails her can be healed.
This is excellent to know. And this is just a conversation with you and me. We should try to seek what can heal her. I know we don't have much time. I know that more dragons are approaching. But if it's 3 days until it reaches this area and the giants have already left, give us a bit more time. Perhaps the next question could be if it is a spell or some sort of magics that could be obtained by any one of us. Something that, whether now or in the future, could be within one of our repertoires. Does that make sense, Jack?
Jack will nod. That was what I was thinking to be my next question.
And not.
Now I just need to figure out how to word it well.
Perhaps ask if she could be healed within the realms of mortal magics? Does that make sense?
Perfect wording, thank you. She will ask Valaria if Ruka can be healed within the realm of mortal magics.
Yes, she can.
All right. This brings much hope. The journey may be arduous. It is something that can be obtained, not a quest that must be sought. We have three remaining. I can think of a few aspects of mortal magics that could potentially heal, such as what you had used earlier. If it is something of that sort, then perhaps thoughts on asking it whether or not if that particular spell of healing would work. And if not, secondary, if a wish, whether greater or limited, would be a secondary option. I know those are two questions, and that might be bringing things too quickly to a close, but that is my thought. What is yours?
Good thoughts indeed. And Mako, you're referring to the spell heal, right?
Yes, so in more plain wording, Men is asking if the very first question would be, would the spell heal actually cure Ruka? And the second one would be, if the answer is no, the second would be, would wish, standard or limited, be an option to cure Ruka? Do those make sense, and do you agree with them? These are your questions.
I agree. Those are good questions. Thank you. And her first question will be, technically it's her third, would be, would the spell heal cure Ruka?
Your third question was, would the spell heal cure Ruka, correct?
Yes, and she will amend or get rid of the sickness.
while it may bring peace and comfort, it cannot end what ails her.
Makes it very difficult. So, no, that is a very difficult spell to get a hold of. And the fact that you have it at all is a miracle.
Indeed.
We have 2 questions remaining. You notice within the realm of mortal magics, heal is not strong enough to remove it completely. I feel that, and you couldn't give me your thoughts on this as well, that something of a similar level, or something of a similar circle of magic, wish, a limited one, might have the same effect. I feel we might need something bigger.
Bigger than wish?
Limited wish.
Ah.
But we can ask. I leave this up to you. We can check to make sure and simply assume if asking for a more limited wish isn't enough, then we would need the strongest of magics.
You have 2 questions left, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It'd be great if we had 2 wishes left.
I know a deck of many things that has wishes in it, if you wanted to try pulling from that.
Continue the conversation. Thoughts on asking if a limited form of wish would be able to remove the disease or sickness completely. And for the final question, if Ruka were given a different body altogether, would that be a potential cure?
Jack will nod. She will ask her 4th question. Would limited wish Would limited wish, I don't want to say take care of.
Remove the disease completely, yes. Or remove the sickness completely?
Words, yes, thank you. Would limited wish remove the sickness completely?
Yes. The use of limited wish would remove her condition completely.
Jack will look over to Min.
I'm really glad we asked that question.
Me too.
I actually once had a scroll of it, though Ruka used that one as well.
I'm sorry, you cut out at the end there, Marco.
Min actually at one point had a scroll of limited wish, but Ruka used it.
Still have one question remaining. I mean, we know what we need to do. Find a means of getting access to a wish is difficult, but it might take a bit of time. But I was able to find the scroll of one before.
Jack will nod.
Well, that. I'll say one, my last question. Oh, I guess we should ask on the timing of her sickness as it continues to worsen, or whatever corruption might be in her. I guess the question would be, could we wait more than 24 hours between casting of heal without her becoming completely corrupted? Does that make sense? Or succumbing to the sickness.
So the question is, could we wait 24 hours after casting heal before she succumbs to the sickness, Mako? Or should I word that a little differently?
Maybe. We could reword it as, if Ruka were untreated for more than 24 hours, would she completely succumb to the sickness? Does that make more sense?
Yes. And Jack will ask her final question. Would Ruka completely succumb to the sickness within 24 hours?
It is probable.
So we do not have much time.
We do not. So, I believe heal can't prolong it or cause the darkness inside her to subside. But she will need one every day until we can actually find the proper cure.
There's no telling how long that would last.
I mean, and I hate to ask you to use such expenditure every day, but need her to survive.
Edmund will look over at Ruka as she appears to be stirring.
Ruka's, well, I guess I should ask the GM, has anything changed?
Yes. Min's spell was successful, and the whispers were swept away, and it was silent for a while. As you wake up, you're not sure, do you hear them? Maybe it's just the trauma of what you've gone through, but it almost feels like in the quiet spaces, the whispers are there waiting.
But they're not overwhelming.
No, they're not.
Well, she'll look over at Min. If you give me a little bit of time, I could cast heal again.
We are most of the way through the day. They know that your strength comes from your sight to the stars. Might need to do it again tonight, before the 24-hour mark.
And she's going to look over at Ruka, and basically as her eyes begin to open, Min is going to just lean down, hand not even outstretched, hand slightly pulled back, palm open, but fingers slightly bent. And she says, Ruka, do you know who I am?
As Ruka began to wake up, the men and Jack would see her shake her head a little bit, and then wince in pain, and she tries to lift her front paws and finds she cannot, and instead curls up and tries to tuck her head in between her paws, like trying to hide her head is in pain.
You're a fox, complete fox, correct?
Yes.
This is good to know.
Literal Pathfinder standard fox.
Good to know. Min will use a fourth level spell slot to re-up telepathic bond with everyone in the mindscape.
Rope trick?
Yes, rope trick. And then she will telepathically call out to Ruka and say, Ruka, do you know who I am?
I want to think so, but it hurts. It won't go away.
Sorry.
And Min will, instead of keeping her hand in a position ready to strike, will reach down and just to gently place it on Ruka's head.
We'll see. I'll try to get it to go away. It's difficult, but we will do everything that we can.
There's a small mental nod
do you feel strong enough to join the rest of us outside? I believe the battle is coming to a close and there is much cleanup to be done. I know of some places that would probably accept some of our leftovers, and Min gives a slight mental smirk to that. But I know that you want to be a part of that, if this really is you.
I don't know if it's safe.
And what do you worry of? They may still be with you, but if you feel yourself being lost, reach out. We will be by your side in a second.
So many times, anytime I go to fight to help, I end up being turned against you. That's all I can do.
Then we will find a way to ensure that that does not happen or is mitigated. And I apologize, had I thought Makata had strength to do something like that, I would have given you additional protection. I do carry the means of preventing mental manipulation or possession, but I did not think that Makata would possess that.
Ruka just doesn't respond to that.
We will be more vigilant, but we will also do what we can to aid you in every way possible. Come. The sunlight will do you good.
Does Min remove the ropes?
Yes. Yes, Min will remove the ropes.
Rika will roll upright and then slowly shift back to her normal Quarthalian form, like, hesitantly.
Min will reach out a helping hand.
Ricker will reach up and take it.
Alright. And this mint crests it and squeezes ever so tightly, just so that Ruka knows that she's there. She'll turn back to Jack and say, "Once again, you come in our time of need and give us exactly that we need. Thank you, Jack. I really don't know what we would do without you."
Jack will give her a small smile and then just nod in acceptance, because what does one say to that? But because we leveled up last week, Jack now has an extra high level spell that she would like to sit down and memorize heal for, so she can give that to Ruka.
Okay. Very well. You can do that.
Ruka's still, like, looking down at the ground, not, you know, obviously showing a lack of confidence in anything right now. But she says, I don't know if this can help much, but let me try something. As she holds up a hand and forms a magic symbol and will cast Protection from Evil on herself to see if that lessens the voices.
Okay, go ahead and make a caster level check.
Caster level in Pathfinder is just the caster level, or does it also have this casting mod in it?
Just the caster level.
Correct.
Okay, that's a 28.
Okay. You focus, you cast the spell, and as you cast it on yourself, there's this flash, like when Frodo sees the Eye of Sauron, or just in the front of your mind, just this flash of a face pulled tight, worn, tired, but fierce, not full of wrath and fury, but full of drive and purpose. Eyes slightly yellowed, a sickly pale, and what terrifies you the most is it is your own face as your spell fails.
As the flash appears in her mind, she takes a sudden step backward, lets go of Ben's hand and drops back to her knees.
Ruka, it's okay. We're all right.
It's too powerful. I can't even touch it.
Yet it won't be able to touch us. You are not alone. You don't have to handle this alone.
All right. Do you guys remain in the rope trick for the time being?
I think we should go and eventually at some point rejoin the rest of the party to help consolidate this.
All right. Then on that note, we're going to jump back to the rest of the party. All right. As Barkus and Philia, with the help of Ari, you do your best to catch up to the rest of the fleeing Shadow of Light giants, doing their best to try to hold off the dragons. But as dragons sweep in, many of them still alive. These are not fallen dragons that have risen, although there are risen as well. And now your attention is drawn to the sides as risen giants and risen dragons and risen Shadow of Light start coming out of side streets and moving towards you. And so there's a battle on all sides as you're being hemmed in. And at that point, as you're battling on all sides, trying to keep the dragons off, you begin to hear the eruption of cannon fire above you as the three Rubel gunships come into range, one sweeping out to the right, the other two turning to the left, all presenting their broadsides as they open fire with their ruble-made weaponry, targeting the dragons in the air above you, firing arcane missiles and not so much projectile shot as firing pure energy weapons into the dragons above you. The brightness of the attack seems to throw the remaining dragons off, and it appears that they are pulling away now. As you watch the middle Ruble gunship remains in its place as the other two kind of sweep out to flank around and give direct aerial support to the defenders that are trying to escape Alborg. What do you do?
Looks up in the sky and says, "Well, I'm glad that we still have friends." And she's going to make her way over to Philly and say, "Looks like your friends and family have finally decided to join the party."
Suppose so. I'm glad to get reinforcements.
Indeed. Do we need to talk with them to ensure that they know what's going on? To ensure that they are informed?
Sure, they would love to get additional information. I just didn't have the resources to communicate with them.
I think I'd like to retrieve my sword, if that thing's head is anywhere nearby.
Go ahead and make a survival check.
Okay. I believe that's a 24.
Okay. You look at the body, you look at the way that it's laying, and you discern where you think the head should be, what direction, and you can head in that direction if you'd like.
You'll need me right here on this spot. I think I can get to where my sword
Maybe
is.
Maybe you should go back and get it later. I mean, we've kind of been heading away from the dragon on purpose.
I suppose. Probably right. Yeah, I reckon we'll just need to keep on clearing things out and getting people out of here, I suppose. Unless someone can take me over there in some kind of crazy flash step magic.
Min chuckles at that and says, "I could, but I really think we need to talk with some of the people on the ships. Just to make sure we're all on the same page." And she looks at them firing on the dragons and seeing the giants fleeing. Says, "It would be a shame for them, for there to be a misunderstanding and them to begin firing on the refugees."
At that point, Ari speaks up and says, "I don't think you have to worry about that. They know who they're here for." And... Yeah. The brothers of Lilwenneth have friends far and wide.
Indeed. We are glad that we are a part of that, those friends. As a note, is that how you would prefer to be referred as, if people start asking questions, or would you prefer to make a quiet exit?
We'll make our exit But not just yet. For now, though, best to keep the other part under wraps.
Min nods and understands this. Of course. If anyone asks, you were never here? Or were you a traveling band of monks who got caught up in this entire event? What's the narrative?
Well, it's just a wonderful thing that clerics are so versatile in their skill sets.
Indeed. And happen to be in the right place at the right time.
It's almost like they take credit for having allies. They don't have to say who they are.
And as you guys are having this conversation, you watch as one of the defense ships swings down lower and lower, circles around, and this is the one that had been in the middle leading the formation, and comes in until it finally rests maybe 100 feet or so above the city. The other two are sweeping now, doing rotations around the city in either direction, one clockwise, the other counterclockwise, just patrolling the rim around the city. But you guys have left the city currently, correct? You would have, yeah.
As a quick note, Min is going to throw up a silent image up in the air, which is just a red flashing arrow and in common that says, "Do not fly through here."
Okay.
She still has her etheric shards up, and if they fly through that, that will destroy their ship.
Oh, yeah. That would not be good.
Yes.
Well, then, outside of the city, where you guys are all kind of gathered up, you can see some of the giants are there. You can see Volstir is there, although he looks like he is... there's just a small group, Kalvikia, with them, a remnant of the Svartagurt. Most of his war chiefs are not present. The Druid Elder is not present. The losses have been extremely high in this fight, but there are still some that are present. And then the Brothers of Lueneth, a couple of sisters in there as well, seem to have just dropped back into a much more conventional cleric role, just tending to the wounded, tending to their own wounded, but quiet about who they are. They're not acting like military at this point. But you watch as a landing skiff drops down from the flagship of this set of three, and on board there is a well-decorated young ruble officer. Her plumed hat seeming almost over large on her head. As the landing skiff comes down, and probably about eight ruble soldiers, officers, attendants, etc., come out, and she comes off. And as she steps off, wearing, you know, the starched, pressed uniform of a ruble officer, she looks over and she sees all of you first. She also sees Volstir, but she comes over to you first. And she looks over to Ari and says,
From under the light, isn't that right?
And Ari just smiles and says,
from under the light. I'm glad you made it. But you are late.
She nods and says,
yes, well, it does take a little bit of work to get old Holcomb to look the other way when three of his ships go off duty roster.
Yeah, I guess that's probably gonna be difficult to explain, huh? But I'm sure you'll be able to handle it. Everybody, this is Lieutenant Commander Jewel Lefero. And a good friend. To which she turns to all of you, nods her head, says, "It's very good to meet all of you, finally. I was aware of your efforts most recently on the Verdant Sea, although I was not in a position to be able to say anything at the time."
Understood. Different positions can be difficult to navigate diplomatically. We appreciate your arrival.
Yes, well, we would have been here sooner if we had heard sooner. And she looks over at Ari, raises an eyebrow, but says, "Still, came as quickly as we could. Know that my three vessels will remain here until this situation is resolved. The Star Point, the Skyfort, and the Sabin are all at your, well, at the defense and the service of the people here. It looks like you finished most of the work, though, before we even got here. I take it that mountain inside that, well, what used to be a city, I take it that that is the old boy himself."
That would be a correct assumption.
Yes, and the sooner it's destroyed, the better, in my opinion.
Agreed. As a note, does appear, and I'm assuming Barkus and Philly would have filled the rest of the party in. Anything that dies in its area, it has a lingering necromantic aura that raises beings back to undeath or unlife, if you would.
All right. Well, if that's the case, we'll have to keep everyone out. How are they going to take it? And Lieutenant Colonel Farrow looks over at the giant king, who is currently looks to be dealing with his own wounds and wounded, and is not particularly paying you all any attention.
Well, we could ask him. It's his city. He just starts walking over there.
If you think about it, Aalborg isn't a place. It's a people.
Sorry, is it true?
I couldn't resist.
Well.
He approaches respectfully to Volstaren Giants.
Okay, as you approach, Kalvikia sees you at first, gives you a nod. You can tell she's beaten, bruised. Everyone here has fought as hard as they could for much longer than they probably should have. You can tell that the remaining Svartigert, one, they've all returned to their normal size, and you can tell that they're tattoos that had been so vibrant and even glowing with magical energy before are almost entirely dull now and faded. It seems that they burned everything that they had in this fight. But as you approach, Volstir turns and looks down at you. It says,
"Philia the Rubor, it is well that you were with us.
Well, I am very to see that you are still alive, King."
"Yes, well, that is better than many can say. I count myself fortunate."
And he winces a little bit, nursing his wounds. You can tell he's got an arm in a sling, a shoulder that looks like it's just recently been reset. bandage wrapped, bloody bandages, but he's still standing.
But I am glad that you too have survived this, for it would not do well for the guests of Aalborg to be killed upon their first return visit.
Speaking of your city, there's not much left of it, and considering what the body of Makat is influence over the place, we were talking amongst our allies as we think it might be best to finish destroying the body of Makat, which probably would also destroy Aalborg.
Aalborg can be rebuilt. There is no need to destroy it. This is our capital. This great city has stood through generations of my people. I do not understand why it needs must be sacrificed when the beast is already dead.
Well, mainly it's because other things are coming up back to life and trying to kill.
Then we will beat them down. If the undead seek to claim Aalborg, they will have to fight us all for that.
And, I don't know if you've dealt with undead a whole lot, but I have a little bit. And, I think the less remaining bit of the creature possible, at least less likely, it will come back in some form. And I'm talking about Makat. I am apprehensive to whether he is completely vanquished or temporarily vanquished.
Then you are concerned that he will come back, that his death is not final.
It is within the realm of theory, and I think I'm not the only one who thinks that.
Is it okay if it also comes by? That is a possibility. Though if Aalborg is to stay here, to help prevent your lands from becoming a swamp of necromantic death, would you be willing to let others come and take the body away, even if it is just piece by piece?
And he takes a deep breath, leans back a little bit, taking more of a air of authority, but also of aloofness, and says, "Much has been lost today in the felling of this great beast, and many of my people have died to see it done. There are unknown potentials in the corpse of this great monstrosity. Perhaps there is a way in which it can be made safe, but it is not just a prize for anyone to take home to put on their wall."
His eyes narrow.
And it's, though at the moment, it is still a cesspool of poison. Stepping anywhere near it not only will sap people's strength, but will bring them back. I do not wish to deny you your trophy. You have every right to it. But at the same time, for the those of your people who still need a place to stay, to recuperate and recover during this time, if we could make it safe, is that something that you would wish?
I guess, should Alborg be a symbol of, how do you say this? Should Alborg be a testament and a graveyard and a thing of the past representing the victory, or is it going to be a living city for your people?
Make a diplomacy check.
It is not that great a diplomacy.
Marcus is standing by. Can he aid her with this somehow?
You can aid as much as you want.
Yeah, Marcus, you can aid with this if you'd like.
Yeah. I forget how that works. Do I roll, or is it just a bonus?
Yeah. So you roll a diplomacy check, but you just have to beat a 10 to give her a plus 2.
Nice. Rolled up a 17.
Nice. But you didn't get the speech. Okay. Alright, I guess that would be a 16.
Alborg is a living city, where it lives in the people here. It lives in our memory. It is who we are and who we were that makes us. So, it is a memorial, and it is alive. You may do what you will to end the destructive influence of this corpse, but it is not to be removed.
Looks at everyone else, and then telepathically communicates with them and says, it is their land and their decision. It might not be the best one, but it is something that they will have to choose to live with. This could, and more than likely is, pride of the giants. No one else has ever felled one of these sons of Tiamat before. This will be a matter of history. And even though the bones may be a danger, for them to point to their children and their children's children, that this was a victory that was hard fought and yet won, it could be a testament to them. They'll simply need to put their cemeteries elsewhere.
We're still talking. We can talk in this private conversation.
Telepathically, yes.
Yeah. If anything weird starts going on, I don't mind changing the plan. Let's just put it that way.
Min just gives a telepathic response. Says, agreed. The moment this becomes a necropolis, we remove the undead. And Min just leaves it at that.
And at one point, Lieutenant Commander Pharaoh tries to speak up. Says, with all due respect, I really don't think, but she's immediately just cut off by Volstir, who looks at her and says, I did not ask for the input of the half-sized who fly in their ships and gun down on anything recklessly. You were not here for the fight. You do not speak. And she pauses abruptly, not used to being completely shut out, but gives all of you a bit of a look and shares a look with Ari, but does not say anything else.
It says, but today is a day of remembrance. To remember those who we have lost, those who fell, but most importantly, to remember the most important person who fell, Makant, and to remember that he and his brothers are not forces of nature, but are mortal. And together, and she looks to Volstir, and then Ruka, and then the captain, and then Ari, through the gathered aid of all the races, we can do things hitherto impossible. Our actions today will be written in history tomorrow. And she will look over at Solas. So, feel that we should rest, remember, but also celebrate the victories that have been won, the lives that won it, and the heroics of those who do not get to celebrate with us.
Min, go ahead and make a diplomacy check. And this is just to see how inspiring your speech is, and I will give you advantage on it.
Nice.
A total of 30, actually.
All right. You see, everyone seems moved by the sentiments. There's an agreement. Volstir agrees and declares that there will be a great celebration as soon as they can gather together a camp, but they will be moving further to the east, and he points out a spot, and word is sent out, riders are sent out, runners are sent out to try to let those who left before know that they can come to that place to rally at his banner. Two things. One, let's see. I tell you what. No, I'll just give it to you. As this is going on, though, in the midst of this, and as the afternoon begins to pass, it begins to snow, but it is not cold. And it is not snow. And there's been plenty of fire in Aalborg, but you've gotten a good distance away from Aalborg. You can look down from there, but it is ash, bits of ash. And as you look to the north, you see a red glow on the horizon and a blackness that covers the sky. And as you go, Ari speaks to his friend, Lieutenant Commander Farrow, before she prepares to head back to her ships as she sees it too. And Ari says, "That's right. I almost forgot there was two of them. It's not over yet." And as Lieutenant Commander Farrow heads towards her landing skiff, and all of you make your way with the refugees away from Aalborg, the glow of Danau on the horizon haunts your steps. And that's where we'll pick up next time.
Nice. Woo! All right.